Now, our lesson today, I'd like to take up where we left off 2 weeks ago, February 19th, I think it was. Last time I had the opportunity. And we were looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3-10. And we were talking about the message that Paul gave to Timothy to deliver to the church that was that had been formed there. And Timothy's job was to help the church develop and to do the Lord's will. It affects us today because we too are the church. And I was told you I was going to try to do a two-part lesson. And we did that first part, and I wanted to lay the groundwork, more or less, of introducing those scriptures and seeing how it applies to what Timothy is saying to the church. And today, it will be targeted more or less to the families that are in the church, because we do have quite a bit, not just this church, we have quite a bit of families that make up the church, the Lord's church. And along with the society, families play a big part in the church. And we want to raise our children the right way so that they, in turn, can take over when we get to the point where it's time for our labors to cease. They will continue on and in turn introduce the Lord to their children, and the process will continue. Same way Christ came and introduced what God's purpose was for him to do on this earth. He picked 12 disciples and they in turn continued to work when he left and make disciples of all those that they taught, all that were listening or heed. And the process continues until we reach our heavenly reward. So, with that being said, we're going to focus on fortifying or strengthening the families by what Paul told Timothy to tell the church. Now, once again, let's just quickly look at those verses from chapter 6, verses 3-10. And I guess I wanted to read those few verses. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3-10.
If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teachings, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
Okay, thank you. Now, can you all think back to, I would say, pretty much everybody in here is over 40. I'm not going to ask your age, but if you're not over 40, you're close enough. Think back to 40 years ago. Oh, yeah, well, I say if you're not over 40, you're close enough. I'm not trying to point nobody out. But what I'm getting at is, think back 40 years ago, the way things were then and the way things are now. Some things that were frowned upon during that time that seems to be okay now. Do y'all see that in everyday life, what you live now? Of course, we know the prices of things are really double, triple, you know. But the way of life, respect that people have for each other, crime in itself, I mean, you got people now that will come to your house in the broad open daylight and think nothing of it. I mean, 40 years ago, they might have come in, but they were kind of like maybe come in at night when they hoped you weren't there. Now they don't care if you're there or not.
Yeah, and if you shoot them, doesn't like it's your fault.
Right. That's another thing. You're the one that's wrong for trying to protect yourself. Laws just seem to be ridiculous. Yeah. Or did we? You know, this is right. But now, who puts the politicians in office? We do, right? So, as a society, we supposed to have a say so in what happens. Same thing is in the church. We supposed to conduct ourselves in a manner that's supposed to be respectful of God. And we see some things in the church today that is so very much not respectful to God, different from what it was 40 years ago. this is just something, a little highlight. My wife and I went to a funeral out of state, well, it wasn't out of state, it was upstate, not too long ago. We noticed that at this funeral, it really was, or appeared to be, a funeral. From the way the people were there, how they conducted themselves, how they dressed. When we go to a funeral around here, we don't know if we're going to a funeral or we're going to the club. People get up before they finish the service to take their body out. You got congregation of people getting up and leaving. That's very disrespectful, as I would think. It's not the way that I'm accustomed to paying respects to the dead and to the family of the deceased. But that's just one of the things. Yes?
Remember, go back 40 years ago, the funeral procession coming down the roadway, everybody would move out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
They used to get out of the way, now they try to take advantage of it, trying to sneak in there. And nobody has the same respect.
And it's supposed to be a law.
It is on the books. It's on the books. It's in the law.
Yeah.
You're supposed to pull over to the side.
Even if you're going in the opposite direction. I mean, not on a divided highway or a highway that got a median, but if it's just a two-lane highway, if the procession is coming toward you, you're supposed to pull over still and let them pass. Just like an emergency vehicle, more or less. But things are so different. Yes?
Yeah, see, that's, you cannot, and I say you should not legislate morality. So, well, it's one thing known as respect to do that, to rule over. And even more so, I've seen people back in the day would get out of their car, and gentlemen who had hats back in the day would remove their hat, and the ladies would sit on, you know, on the side. And so again, to show respect,
right?
You know, that was the deeper meaning. But now, like her sister here said, it has to be a law.
Yeah.
Because again, people.
Still disregard that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The law doesn't doesn't legislate morality.
Okay.
Because it only gives us a quote-unquote standard to process to do quote-unquote justice. Because you, there's a law in the books, you violate the law, now you have to pay the penalty. But again, the trying to enforce the right thing will get you killed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, same with the handicapped parking. That's for members of our society. And again, we show respect for those who need that.
Mm-hmm.
Who need that. Granted, there's another issue who actually needs that, but there are those who do need that. And need it for them. That's what it's for.
Right.
Again, show respect. And again, as Christians, that should be a far easier thing for us to do than those who don't know God or fear God.
Right.
Because we know that it's our fellow bugs that really doesn't matter. It's our responsibility to do and to let our light shine. And then when you're in a situation where someone says, well, that spot's open, yes, but I'm not handicapped.
Right.
Or someone who's
it's very good point, which brings us to the basis of what we're talking about. Where does all this stem from? Basically, it's from how you're raised. You know, how is your moral compass set? And your moral compass is going to be set by where your environment is, what you see. Whether it's in your home or whether it's in your community, your environment is going to set your moral compass. Now, if a person doesn't have respect or doesn't see respect in their home or in their neighborhood or environment, then they practice what they see pretty much the same way as what kids do, you know. Kids see you do something, they're going to do it too. They may not do it in front of you, but they'll do it. And I'm not condemning an individual. I can't, because I am guilty also. When I got away from my parents, I was a different Wesley. But when I saw somebody that knew my parents, oh, I was the good Wesley. But when I was around my friends, and no grown person that I knew I was around was just my friends, oh, I was the ugly Wesley then. I was big enough and bad enough to do and say whatever I wanted to, because he's my friends, you know. But I had to learn also that as I grew older, in order to respect myself, I have to be the same Wesley everywhere I go and still suffer the consequences, which wasn't the fact of what my mom or my grandparents were going to do to me, but what I was going to catch later on in life from other people and what they would say about me everywhere I go. And I didn't want words being said behind my back that would make other people look at me in a different light. But I'm sorry, straying away.
No. See, that as we grow in the faith, we understand it's yes, what people say about you is relevant. But what is most important is what God thinks of. When we grow in our faith and understanding that there's no secrets,
mm-hmm.
there's no place dark enough to hide from God.
Right.
There's no lie grand enough that he can't see through it. He again, so as we learn of him, we learn how we need to be, because he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have to acknowledge that. Again, he sits through our thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Kathy and I, we've been together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so she likes to finish my sentences.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys ever had a relationship like that.
Sometimes it's a good thing.
But again, but God knows the words in my head before I'm saying them.
Right.
And now we can get close. I'm saying we can get close to someone where the finish your thought. God knows your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the big difference. Once we realize, yeah, what you're covered in your heart, God sees. God knows.
Yes.
How you conduct yourself, He knows.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, that's as we grow in our faith, because I too, you know, like a lot of us, what does this person think? What does this person think? Why do you tell me? Understand? Well, yeah, we're more concerned about what God thinks, so that we act appropriately, so they will see God in us.
Right, right.
We set that example. And it's not about, look, he makes $250,000 a year, for example. No, it's because God has blessed me with him.
Mm-hmm.
With employment that allows me. And again, we know that in that employment, we're supposed to use that again for his glory, for his benefit.
Right.
Whether it's as a school janitor, if it's honest work, we're supposed to be glad about it, happy about it. Again, according to the scripture.
That's right. That's right.
But we don't know that. You know, we would look down on a quote unquote janitor when we were growing up versus a rocket scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, a nurse.
Or a teacher.
But again, as we know better, we do better.
Good. Very good. You had a comment, Lynette?
Let me think.
So, right.
I was just going to say something about that there are so many forces in society today that are trying to destroy the family and the very framework of the family.
Mm-hmm.
That goes against all of morality, you know, God-given morality, God-given family.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be careful. And I mean, you can just see that, you know, forces are trying to, like, destroy the image of man that God had made as head of the household. You know, men are toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Every man is toxic. They don't have a role. Women are it, you know. They're the power players. Children, you don't have to have children. You don't have to even be married. You know, they're trying to destroy the entire fabric that God has laid out for successful society and marriage and creation and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to stand firm, and not just stand. We need to, like, voice. Let our voices ring out about what is right in the sight of God.
Right.
And not be ashamed of it, not be afraid of it. Because our society is in big trouble.
Yes, yes. Very good. The forces, let's call it what it is, the devil.
Yep.
That's what it is in a nutshell. In so many different ways. But y'all pretty much almost got the lesson before I can even.
That's why kids are like, they're lost today. Sometimes they don't even have a mother. Sometimes they don't have a father figure. Beverly knows that from being in school all those years. And they're lost. They don't know, they don't have discipline. And, you know, parents want to be friends with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a parent.
Right.
God didn't give you that to be a friend. You know, you're supposed to be a parent.
Have a job. You. Right.
You know, kids are lost.
Yeah.
People are lost.
Yes, they are.
You know.
Yes, they are. And what are they going to look at if they don't have a parent? The first thing they're going to look at is their friends that are in school or wherever, whether it's in school or out in the street. They're going to copy what they see them do. And if they have good moral standards, then their lost ones will pick up on that and will imitate that. But if they don't have the standards, then of course they're going to do likewise or worse, because the devil's going to be very easy to grab them up and tell them, oh, you go ahead, do this, you can do that, right, you know. But they have to have something to bounce off of to know, wait a minute, I don't feel right. That's not right. I shouldn't do that, you know. So where did they get this from other than at home, from their family, or in church? You know, because our job too as Christians is to lead and set the example. And we don't do it, as you said, just for worrying about, we worry about what people say about us behind our back. But because we are carrying the banner and wearing the name of Christ, what we do not only brings us down, but it brings down the name of Christ. Because, and I'm sure y'all have heard or know of people that will categorize all churches because of what they may see one person do, they say that they are in church. Oh, that's all of them just the same. They all of them do the same thing. You make the statement. You don't know. You don't go there. But it's not the individual that's making the statement. It's the devil. And the devil is using this person to make that statement, that throws it out there, and whoever else hears it, they picks it up just like a magnet. Yeah, but he said all churches, you know, yeah, they are all like that. They don't know either. But they assume, you all know what happens when you assume, because one person said it, that's the way it is. But one person said, come on, go to church with me. No, I got to do this, and I'm going to go with you one Sunday. Oh, well, I'm going to try. I overslept. I did this, a whole bunch of excuses. But this in itself is what Timothy is supposed to instill in the churches to the families, and we are supposed to accept it, raise our children in the admonition of the Lord, to carry themselves in the right manner, to exhibit Christ, even if they haven't accepted Christ yet. They're in a household seeing and believing that this is the right thing we're supposed to do. Yes.
I wanted to step back to what he said about 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 40 years ago, we would not have a woman in the pulpit of Egypt.
Yeah, that too.
And not any. There was not a place for a woman to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in society as it is right now, and started, you know, some years ago, but still 40 years is a good place to stop. If the woman is the head of everything in the church, what is the role of her husband? And that was what I would ask. And they would tell me that, well, my husband is an elder. And I'm like, well, how? Because you're in control of everything that goes on in your church. So if children and the members already see that she's in control, they've got confusion when they go home, because they feel like, well, she's in control, I can be in control too. And then you've got some problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem is the fact that she's not supposed to be there in the first place.
Yeah.
And we know when, and we even know the first one, woman in the pulpit in any of the black churches in this community. We know her. And we know that after she went to school and was ordained by them, when she went to her church, and her preacher said, no. As long as I'm in here, no.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I have this job. And she went to other churches around in the city, and the answer from all of them was no. But there were some little country churches that needed a preacher because they share preachers. That's how she was able to get in. And then that was the beginning of, okay, well, we're going to ask some more. And that's now, it's just, it's so many now, you just, all you do is just shake your head and say, well, I don't have anything to do with that. I know it's not right. And you all use your Bible for everything else. Why can't you use your Bible and find that? Mm-hmm. You see that as a problem.
Okay. Very good point. We also see as in today where it's not a problem for a group of members. They have conflict with what the elders may say in the church. So rather than to go find another church, they will make up their own church. And there you have it. And we have so many different denominations, it's really ridiculous. But only thing we can do is keep spreading the truth. You know, sow the seed, tell the truth, God's truth, and that will stand. It's just like good seed and bad seed. You can mix them up. You can sow them out. I'm going to throw them out there and sow them together. But the bad seed is not going to grow. The good seed will. I don't care. You can mix it up in the same bag or in the little bin or whatever and just put it out there to get the same amount of water, same amount of sunshine, the same good fork, good soil. But if the seed is bad, it's not going to grow. If it's good, it will grow. But I may have to carry this lesson over a little bit more. But I wanted to get out important the fundamentals of some facts that would help strengthen our families and to let them be able to function good is what we need to pay attention to what is happening. Some things that we do that we don't realize that we do, or things that are happening that we're not paying enough attention to. And it just happens because of the fact that in the society in which we live, we go along with the flow. Now, grant you, it is very hard, and we've all seen it. God forbid anybody's ever been in it. But it's very hard to go against the current when the current is strong. Now, you can stand in water and it's knee deep. If the water is strong enough, it will knock you off your balance. But if you got something to hold on to that's stronger than you, you can hold your balance. And that's what the Word of God is. We have to grab hold to that and keep it, good grip on it, so that we can maintain our balance in society today, which will help us to be the example to set to others, whether it be our children, our friends, other members, or whoever. You've all probably heard the saying that it takes a village to raise a child. That is not just necessarily your neighborhood or in the church. That is everybody, because it may not be your child that you affect. It's the point that when I was in school, and I'm sure some of you may have experienced it, you could have your parent tell you something and seem to go in one end out the other. But if you was in school and a teacher said the same thing, you listened to it and it stuck. It meant something. You hear it all the time in your home, but just because your teacher said it, basically because you probably liked that teacher, you know, or that teacher kind of meant something to you. Or it could have been an elderly person that was in the neighborhood, or maybe not so elderly, but somebody else in the neighborhood that you cared about and you respected. And you listen to them. And when they said something that made sense, it stuck with you. But you heard it from somebody else and it kind of went over your head. That too is the meaning of it takes a village. So what I'm getting at is what we do as individuals, we may not see it affect just our children, biological children, but it affects everybody that you come in contact with. As what I said one time when I was doing a lesson, how many people you come in contact with in a day? If you get up, leave out the door, which some people don't have this anymore, but used to have it. You get up in the morning, you're on your way to work, and you meet the paper boy in the morning. That's one person that you may have an effect on. You stop at McDonald's nowadays, get you some breakfast. There's a young person, 9 times out of 10, is working in there. That's another, or it could be an older person. But because of what you say to them could affect them. When you get to work, your co-workers, you got a variety of young and old, male and female, your boss, and maybe if you are in a situation where you are supervisor, people that's under you. When you leave work in a day, you go to a store. I've been in a store where I get to the checkout counter, and the person's working there, and they're taking the stuff. It's not so much I'm in a hurry, but if you didn't want to come to work today, you should have called in instead of standing here moving like this. As my grandparents used to say, you're moving like dead lights falling off. And I don't know what dykes is, but anyway, that's what they used to use that term. But the point is, they acting like they don't want to be there, and they're taking their time. And, you know, I've been planning on staying here 20 minutes for you to ring up 3 items, you know. And you're getting paid to do a job that you're not doing very efficiently, you know. But what I'm getting at is the different people that you come in contact with, and all of this, you're not thinking, all of this is the devil working on you. Because if you get agitated and to the point where the devil tells you, say something, do something, and you respond, and it's negative, that's not Christ. Christ will be loving, trying to be patient and understanding. I've even been in a store where, I used to like this one, my brother-in-law, he said he was in the store. And this was before COVID. And the people was up behind him. And he was telling me, do you mind? You know, like, of course, some people say a little vulgar than that, but still. Sometimes you do have to say something, but how you say it, how you do, carries a lot. But the devil is constantly, that's what people don't realize, how constantly the devil is at you. And by the time you realize, and you say, that was number the devil. Yes, it was. But you know, it agitated you to the point where you have done something that somebody else saw. They said, I thought they was a Christian. I thought they were church people. I thought they were righteous. I thought they were better than that. You know, must have had a problem or something that day. But we never know. But I'm going to end the lesson here at this point. Yes.
Timothy, Paul sums it up in the second book of Timothy, 1 verse 6, saying, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. I want to leave you with this 4 little thoughts. We have to be consistent in what we do. We have to be conscious of what we do. We have to be courageous in what we do. And we have to do it continuously, because this is life. Constantly, consistently, courageously. This is what goes on each day. This is why the devil is at us 24/7. Well, one thing we got to remember, no matter what the devil does, God is right there too, all the time. And if we look for his way out, we can find it. Sometimes we have to just stand still and say, Lord, help. Or Lord, help me. Because I can't change them. As my wife always tells me, you can't change other people. But what I do is going to affect a whole bunch of people. Even if it's no more than just put me in the bad light, which in turn, as you brought out, I'm going to make the light of Christ shine wrong. Well, I'm not saying it right, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm not shining my light for Christ bright. It's not bright. I put a shade over it once I've messed up. So, this is my lesson today. If I get a chance, I don't know when the next time I have opportunity to do Sunday school, but we'll pick up on it again and talk about this some more. Thank you all for your participation. That's your lesson.